Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. Hope you're doing great on this Mother's Day all around the world for us. Anyway, just hope you're doing great. The weather is superb in New York. It's about 80 degrees. Was a high for today, so we're definitely enjoying that. Hope where you are is equally as pleasant. We have an interesting show tonight. We've got a few surprises and hopefully a few guests calling in to share about their experiences, and of course we have a special opportunity tonight for one of our very special guests, I'm going to say. I've known her quite some time, and her name is Mother Irene Peavy. She's Benita's mother, Letitia's grandmother, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But I wanted to start off the show as we normally do with the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, responsibility, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our body, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. That was written in it. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. And today is May 11th, 2014. I'm in New York City. And we're going to have a moment of silence, please. Thank you. Thank you. With that, I want to again acknowledge a Mother's Day. I want to extend a warm and blessed day for the mothers who birthed us, the mothers who assumed the responsibility of taking care of us and jumped in when our birth mothers weren't around. And I also want to acknowledge the fathers who were raising up their kids and have to be both father and mother. So I want to acknowledge the women and men who are present, and those also who are no longer with us, so that we may have an opportunity to acknowledge and bless the legacy, the rich legacy that we come from, and honor that legacy, and to really acknowledge and know that we are from kings and queens, and sometimes we forget where we come from. So with that, I'm going to, there's a couple callers on the line. If you'd like to comment or speak, press 1, and I'll see you and recognize you and open up your mic. Chat room, we've got some numbers available, some lines available to call in, so Certainly call in 646-716-9827. And we can begin to look at, you know, what it means to be a mother in this world. One of the things that I'm a little, challenged by, and, you know, and we have challenges, is that one of the things that mothers do, or let me speak for myself. So what I, one of the things I know that my mother, who, by the way, is still alive, is the person who gets you together. There was a series called Soul Food a couple of years ago. Anyway, one of the things was that the mother was the matriarch was the one who held it all together and had all of the daughters and the cousins and the extended family come together. She was the one that formulated Sunday dinner. And, you know, when we look at the tradition of sitting down as a family, I think that that's one of the things that is certainly missing. And, of course, who gets the family together is the mother who is preparing the food, because you know, food is the source and essence of our survival, and so therefore the fact that we gather around the food and the mother has been primarily responsible for that, and certainly has been in my family in preparing the food. It gives me great honor and privilege to, now that my mother's 88 this June, I've been preparing her meals for her since she's no longer able to do that. So it gives me a lot of pleasure to do that. And so for me, every day is Mother's Day. And I really think that mothers and families in general, but mothers specifically, don't get enough credit for what they put up with. Certainly, door for 9 months. You know, I can't imagine enduring what you have to for the 9 months and then being cut at the end of that and having your body to recover from all of that, all of those changes and all those things. So it's been said that men could not deal with the pain that's associated with birthing a child into this world. My male ego would like me to think otherwise, but the truth is, the reality is, I don't know that I can handle it for true. So anyway, let me just check in the chat room, see what's happening there. Let you guys have an opportunity. Again, we've got some lines available, so if you'd like to call in from the chat room, please do that. We do have a chat room, and we also want to let you know that the International Black Summit is going to Belize City in Belize, which is in Central America, this August. And so we have an August event that occurs every first weekend in August every year, and we go to different places to have those conversations. And you've heard the declaration that I spoke to, and we speak the declaration because we want you to hear yourself. We want you to hear yourself inside of that commitment, inside of that stand to make some things happen in your life. And we use some of the distinctions as part of the International Black Summit. So those distinctions and one of the ones that really comes alive for me on this Mother's Day is self-generation. My mother is someone who will generate on top of generate on top of generate on top of generate on top of generate. And so she was one of the one of my role models around that, especially hosting, taking care of folks. And I got to tell you, the story for me, I didn't really understand that until much later on in life, when I became part of the International Black Summit. And one of the things is that I took care of the temperature. I made sure that the room was set in a functional way, you know, just things that were just kind of came natural to me. And so one of my discoveries was that that's who my mother is, that my mother happens to be a Jehovah's Witness, and she hosts the meetings at her house. And so when hosting the meetings at her house, you know, one of the errands that I would have to do is to make sure that they had either West Indian Guyanese patties, West Indian patties, or donuts. And, of course, they had to have some kind of juice and ginger ale and water. So those were the things that they had to have at the meeting. Now, this was not, if you've gone to some of the other meetings, that's not available, but that was who she is. And so I noticed that that's who I am about, taking care of the folks around me. So it gives me great pleasure to be able to be inside that conversation. So, anyway, we wanted to shift the conversation a little bit tonight, and we wanted to talk a little bit about Mrs. Irene Peavy and who she was and what she was and how she was to folks. So we'll get some folks to call in about her. But I've known her quite a bit, known her since the early 80s. And she's a wonderful, 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 wonderful person, certainly a person that has had a legacy herself, strong woman, has done a lot of things, has had her daughter and granddaughter do tremendous things. I mean, when you talk about being a black dancer in the late 70s, early 80s, mid-80s to the 90s, you know, to have her daughter be a dancer and someone who is out and about in that world, and was supportive of her and took care of her and took care of her daughter when she needed to get on the road for shows. So, I mean, she's been a loving, caring person, and really meant a lot to a lot of folks, and just a loving, kind soul, I must say that. Anyway, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. Please visit our website, www.blacksummit.org, to find out and to get any information about upcoming events that we're having and so forth. So, let's see, what else did I want to say about Mother Irene Peavy? She was with us up until, tell you the exact date here, hold on. Really, up until maybe 2 weeks ago. She was just a strong woman, just a strong, loving person. Her going home service was this past Friday. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, acknowledge her. Letitia is her granddaughter. You know, just a really just a great family. She's originally from Boston. And she's originally from Boston and was really one of those old school people, is what I can say about her. And what I can say also is that she's now at peace. That she has, she's blessed us with years of joy, of happiness, of smiles. Had gotten sick towards the end, dealing with you know just complications and things that were making her life here on Earth just a little bit more complex. And she, you know, the family was working with her and back and forth with the different things, but she's a trooper. She's a real, real trooper, and that's what I want to say about her. I hadn't seen her in quite a few years myself, but, you know, with her through Facebook. You know, Facebook is, again, the avenue or the opportunity to stay in touch with people across the world, really. Just a powerful, tremendous woman that that cared a lot, that loved a lot, and shared a lot, and that's what I can say about her for sure. We've got a couple callers on the line. If you'd like to speak, press 1, and I'll open up your mic. And if you've got anything that you want to share about any of the mothers out there for the on this Mother Irene Peavy, who just had her homecoming service this past Friday in Chicago. Press 1 and I can open up your mic. I'll let you share any of your stories. You might have some interesting stories or any interesting stories about any of the mothers out there or the fathers, or for that matter, the fathers who have raised their families, their children, and been both a dad and a mom. So certainly like to hear from you. We've got one caller with their hand up. Hold on, I'll bring you on. Area code 773-308. You go ahead, you're live on the air.
Hi, Glenn, it's Benita.
Hey! How you doing?
I'm fine. You talking about my mama, huh?
Uh-huh. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. And in fact, it's not only Mother's Day, but it's my birthday. I was born on Mother's Day.
Okay.
And so, you know, isn't this amazing? But here, as Mom has just recently passed away, she's left us with this day to celebrate. So, you know, lots of family that came in for her celebration on Friday have stayed to be with us, so that we could be together today and celebrate Mother's Day, celebrate my birth, and, you know, just continue to celebrate Mom's life. So thank you so much for speaking her name and, you know, sharing about her life.
Well, let me make sure that I give you another happy birthday. I did write one on your Facebook, but that is not the same as hearing it. So happy, happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks. So now I wondered if you wanted to know a little bit more about Mom. You know, we had a great celebration on Friday.
Yes, let's hear about it, because I haven't talked to anybody that was at the event, so I want to hear all of the details, please.
Mm-hmm. Great. And, you know, as we share about Mom, I mean, you know, Mom was old school, right? She was 87 years old. You know, there are many of us out here. I mean, you know, as I was a caregiver, there's an army of caregivers out here, as you know. And, you know, many of us caring for our elders, you know, that are in their 80s and 90s and, you know, some of them even hundreds. You know, and they come from an era which is just amazing. You know, I don't know that we can really say that we've been through, you know, the same kinds of things and had to stand strong in our faith and our commitment to mm-hmm. our vision and really be obedient to, you know, what we were being called to do, like those, the elders in our midst. So when I speak of Mom, I'm really, you know, I'm sharing Mom's story, but I'm really, you know, celebrating the lives of many amongst us. You know, and many of them, you know, these days we kind of warehouse our elders, you know, so that they're, you know, in senior buildings and, you know, nursing homes. And, you know, some of them have families that care and tend for them and see about them. But there are many that don't, and they've got stories to tell. So as I share Mom's story, I want you to, you know, just kind of map on that this could be, you know, the story, you know, with different details, but the same kind of courage and conviction and determination of many that are among us. Now, would you like
Absolutely.
Me to read? I could actually even read the obituary. I've got the program in front of me. That might be an easy way to get started.
Oh, great. Yes. Okay. Please do.
All right. Okay, good. So I'll get started. You know, it just starts out to say that Irene Bonita Peavy and her twin sister Rita Lorraine Henderson, in fact, they were called the Evans twins, were born in Rhode Island on January 20th, 1927, to Fred L. Evans of Texas and Daisy Donowa of Southampton, England. My grandfather was in the Navy and was stationed over there and met my grandmother, and they fell in love and got married in England, and she moved to America and ended up having these twin girls.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a story in and of itself. But it goes on to say that the twins were exceptionally close until Rita's death in 1985. They grew up in Boston, Massachusetts. They mm-hmm. graduated from Roxbury Memorial High School in 1945.
Wow.
Typical of Irene, she was in touch with the president of her high school senior class until her death. In fact, I as I was writing this obituary, I couldn't quite remember. I didn't know where that her diplomas and papers were. So I wasn't sure what year they had graduated. And I remembered, I said, wait a minute, Mom's got Mary Sullivan's number, you know. I mean, who's still in touch with their senior high school class, you know, president? I don't know. But typical of Mom, you know, Irene had a way of staying in touch. Mom was preceded in death by her parents, her twin Rita, her brother, Reginald Barriott of Southampton, England. He never made it to America. When my grandfather and grandmother met in England, my grandmother was a widow with a young son. Her husband had died in that flu epidemic at the turn of the century. And so Uncle Reggie never did make it to America. He preceded her in death. And one of my children, her baby granddaughter, and a grandson, Walter C. Peavy III, my brother's son, all preceded her in death. Accepting the invitation of her high school guidance counselor, Irene became one of the first African Americans working for Ma Bell. She said the counselor came to her one day and said they were looking for coloreds, or maybe it was Negro. I think it was probably coloreds. They were looking for coloreds, you know, to work at the telephone company. They were about to open it up and allow some of us to work. there, and she accepted that invitation. And as a young woman, you know, not only was she a pioneer, you know, working there, but she also had the foresight to become a stockholder of the telephone company, as she put it, you know, really as a way to provide for herself and for her twin sister. Her concern was, you know, if she would pass away before her sister, she wanted to make some provision for her. Irene married my father, Walter C. Peavy Sr., in 1948, and from this union, they had two children. It was me, Benita Lorraine. I ended up with the middle name of both my mom and my aunt, her twin, Benita Lorraine, and Walter Jr. Irene gladly shared memories of many happy times that, you know, working with the USO. She's got lots of pictures of, you know, she and girlfriends, you know, having good times. And she talked about how they were really good, clean times, you know, times where they could have fun and just clean fun with each other and with the servicemen. She volunteered a lot in the community. You know, wherever there was a need, you could usually find Irene. The church that she grew up in, St. Mark's Congregational Church in Boston, was smack dab in the middle of the civil rights movement. She served as a board member for the Board of Mental Health in Boston. She was appointed by this then-Senate President, Maurice Donohue, to the Hunger and Malnutrition Commission of Massachusetts. That was something she spoke of often, and, you know, in that capacity, she really made a difference in the lives of many. So some of those early breakfast programs, she kept talking about how, you know, children couldn't learn if they were hungry. Their mom constantly, you know, was concerned about people having what they needed. For nearly 30 years, Mom worked tirelessly as a pioneer for Head Start, which many of us know is a nationally acclaimed program which services preschoolers and their families. I can remember canvassing door-to-door in city neighborhoods with Mom in the early 60s. You know, I was a child, and she would take me with her, and we'd knock door-to-door, and we'd interview, we'd find mothers of young children and survey them to determine what the needs were and to begin to develop the Head Start program. And then in 1991, Mom retired as one of the administrators for Head Start at an organization called Action for Boston Community Development. In the 80s, let me see, in 1984, one good thing, after many years of hard work, I know Mom took, you know, sometimes it was one class a semester, but she received her Bachelor of Science degree in elementary education from Suffolk University. We were all so proud. On graduation day, in fact, she was surrounded by her cheering grandchildren and great-nieces and nephews. And she not only talked the talk, as we always said, she walked the walk. She not only told you about how important education was, but, you know, she wasn't afraid to, you know, step out there and learn herself. Mom came to Chicago. She moved here in 1997 to live with me and my daughter, Letitia. She had had some health crises, and, you know, I think that was the only thing that got her out of that house. We had been concerned for a while, but she had been immovable. And, you know, when she had a health crisis in 97, and couldn't really complain, as soon as the doctor said she could get on a plane, we brought her here. But then once she recuperated and recovered, I tell you, she was back at it. She was an active member of the reading tutorial ministry at our church, Trinity United Church of Christ. You know, she was a resident of several seniors buildings, and then after some more health concerns, some nursing homes, and at each one of them she taught various classes, she developed programs, she was a firm believer in that keeping our minds active and contributing to others, key elements to a blessed life. You know, she was empowered along the way, you know, through those years by her participation in the summit, the International Black Summit, and by being a graduate of Landmark Education Corporation and doing their courses and programs. In fact, in her 80s, I think while
participating in a self-expression and leadership program. She put shape to a vision that she had had for a long time and created an intergenerational program between Victory Center of River Oaks, which is the facility that she lived at, and Lincoln Elementary School in Calumet City, Illinois. She called it her Senior Citizen Army for the Education of Children. And, that program allowed children and elders to have the value of each other's wisdom and insight. And as I said, I mean, she had a vision with all of that. I mean, her vision was to partner with Head Start. We had even started having conversations with Head Start at one point, and the national office wanted me to create a proposal. And, we just kept having things to do and deal with mom's health and care, and I just never got around to it. So that may be something I get back to. Because she would often say that, you know, our children are hurting. They need the love and the care of our seniors. That's what's missing, she would always say. So, you know, it may be that that's work left for me to finish. So, you know, just to give you a sense, that's who mom was. She was a woman that was always on the go. She was always looking for how she could provide and how she could provide, especially for children. Those that, were in need. Many of our, as I said, this is Irene's story, Irene PD's story, but, you know, many of our elders, knew how to come together when there was a need in the community, knew how to live outside of themselves and their own concerns and, work out their concerns in the community, and with others. We're people that were trained and knew how to serve.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And that's the thing that keeps resounding is that whole conversation of community. I've had the pleasure of an experience of community through the International Black Summit. But you're right. My mother will be 88 this June. And, there's things, you look back and she's welcoming people into her home. I was talking earlier about, her taking care of people when they come over. She was a Jehovah's Witness and has hosted the meetings. And the only meeting that I ever knew that she ever had, that her meeting, she had donuts Guyanese patties as, and of course, orange juice, ginger ale, or water as refreshments after the meeting. So I completely get that whole, community conversation that is so strong, so evident with mothers and with mothers in our community and certainly with mothers from that era. They were just pillars, pillars of community.
And the girlfriends, the girlfriends. I mean, I'm sitting here now. As I said, there were several of my family and friends that stayed over to, continue to celebrate through the weekend with me. And, one of them is, my friend Valerie, who flew in from New York. Her mother was one of Mom's oldest and dearest friends. They were in, I believe, elementary school together. Well, for sure, high school. Valerie's confirming that definitely high school. I've got pictures of them together. They, her mother was in my mother's wedding and my aunt, her twin sister's wedding, and my aunt is here. And Auntie Alice was the, my father's sister, and so they were sister-in-laws. But I mean, sister-in-laws that were like sisters, and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during the migration when people were coming up, my father was the first to come north. He was in the Navy and settled in Boston. And, so when Auntie Alice graduated from high school, and you got on the bus and came on up. Got on the train and came on up to us. People were that kind of close and that kind, it's like where there was a need and, what do people need? It was always about uplifting and, moving forward and, sharing and, it's like
I got the hot dogs, you know, do you have some beans, and, you know, that kind of thing. And so, you know, my mother's life was a demonstration of that. I mean, you know, I've just been getting call after call after call of, you know, her girlfriend's children, you know, calling to express their condolences. But, you know, through the years even, and even as people became homebound or, you know, unable to really see each other, they stayed in touch, and they were concerned about each other, and they prayed for each other and each other's their children and their grandchildren. So again, it's like all of that connection and, you know, really intentionally creating and maintaining community, you know, that our elders, you know, give us as a gift and an example.
You know, one of the other things that comes to mind again is the whole food. You know, mothers back then knew how to stretch a dollar. You know, you know, you had, you know, five or six kids to feed, you know, either yours and an extended family or neighbor kids, and they would figure out a way how to, you know, it was kind of like, you know, some folks may shun me a little bit on this one, but it's kind of like Jesus with the five loaves and, you know,
yes.
And the, you know, it was miraculous how they would feed us, because they,
that's,
you know, extra people would show up, and we'd still have, always have enough. You know, they always knew what to add, or they had a little something on the side that they could put it together, and everybody always was full, was taken care of, was, you know, just the whole nurturing and lovingness that that existed in community.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's great in families to see that gift get passed on, too, because I'm sitting here and I'm looking at my brother. It's like, you know, my house was full of people. You know, we lived in a duplex house. If you can imagine, these twin sisters, you know, raising children. We lived in a duplex, my aunt and uncle owned, so we lived on one side, they lived on the other, and the back porches, back doors stayed open, and we just kept going back and forth through the porches. In fact, my cousin, dig this, my cousin Gregory was born 6 days before I was born. So these twins, you know, birth children within days.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, I call him my twin cousin. People say you can't have a twin cousin, but no, really. I do have a twin cousin. And, you know, and then his older brother was, you know, so when people ask about, you know, do you have any brothers and sisters, it's not just my brother. I mean, yes, my brother Walter, but, you know, I've got three brothers. We were raised together, and the house was always full of people, you know. You know, there were cauldrons of food being cooked all the time. The neighbors were coming by. In fact, Aunt Dorita would get upset because, you know, she could never keep up with her dishes because people would promise they won't bring the dish back. And, you know, never bring the dish back. You know, she didn't know where her silverware was. It's like, you know, but that's how we grew up. And, you know, I look at my brother now and it's like, you know, I mean, he actually, you know, ended up a professional chef and, you know, that his son was a chef, and, you know, so in my household growing up, all the men cooked, and, you know, just cooked cauldrons of food and always fed people, and so it's funny, my brother shows up here, I mean, and that's immediately his role, you know, everybody just gets out of the kitchen, and Walter starts whipping up the food, and, you know, but it's like, that's how traditions are passed on. It's like children, you know, grow into their roles, you know, out of, you know, just being related, you know, being related and being together. And, you know, sometimes I wonder these days, it's like we put so much importance on some of the, you know, the gadgets and the, you know, the games and the, you know, the technology that we can purchase for our children. But, you know, sometimes I wonder if we've forgotten how important it is for them to simply be with people, you know, and to, you know, be related, you know, to each other and to friends and to family and to neighbors, you know? So, anyway.
I often wonder about that also, you know, as you were reflecting, I was thinking about my grandmother back in was British Guyana at that time. It's Guyana now.
Mm-hmm.
And as the oldest grandson, she was a midwife, and so everyone would call her Nurse Hart. So what she did is she went around to take care of the community, to go out and to birth, bring all the new babies into the world. I was talking with Catherine, and Catherine says, "Well, you know, all the stuff that you're doing around economic development, you're just taking care of your community." Oh my goodness, because I hadn't seen that. I hadn't made that connection. And so it's
and like giving birth to dreams, you know, giving birth to these dreams, and you know, the people. People are holding on to in the gestation process, and then, you know, you're there for the birthing of these dreams. It's like the what it takes to get the funding and the this and that, you know. Yeah, I can get that. I can get it.
So it's important that the legacy that gets created in our families be carried on, and that this communication and this way of being with each other and this way of collective parenting, collective economics, collective socialization. All of these things are so important, and I think especially as people of African descent, those are our roots. That's how we got here. That's how we organized ourselves. That's how we took care of each other. I love what your mother did with connecting the youth with the elderly, you know, how important it is just to connect. Because the African villagers, what they used to do was the young men and the young women would go with their grandfathers and grandmothers so that knowledge would be gained, and then they would come back to their parents at a later point in time. But it was important that legacy that of knowledge was passed on and contributed, so it wouldn't be lost. So
Great. Well, you know what? I'm sure there must be others that want to call in. I don't want to monopolize the show, but it's so good to talk to you, Glenn. I haven't talked to you in a while, and thank you so much for this opportunity, and thanks for even thinking to, you know, honor Mom this evening. You know, especially it's, you know, as I say, this Mother's Day is just so special. It turns out that it was a special day for her. You know, a day that I was born. And it just happens that, you know, this year my birthday falls on Mother's Day again. Our first year without her for Mother's Day. So this is really special. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome, and there's no accidents ever in life.
That's for sure. That's for sure. So I'm gonna step away and let you go on with the program. We're continuing to listen. We're all sitting here in the family room, listening up.
So, is Rosemary still there with you?
No, she's gone back home. She's back home.
Oh, she
mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was perfect that she was here. It was so special that she was here. And again, another example of, you know, the importance of being with another. You know, it was just important. You know, I didn't need her to be here necessarily to do anything, although she, you know, always steps up and does all the things, you know, that make a difference. But just her presence, just that she was here being with me, you know, made a huge difference this weekend. So I'll always love her for that. So, but yep, she's back home.
Absolutely. Very great.
Okay,
very great. Well, thank you, Bonita.
You're
such
welcome.
A pleasure.
Dear. Love you, Glenn. Okay. Bye bye.
Yep. So we are here. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We've got about just about 15 minutes left, and so we wanted to. If you'd like to speak, press 1. And you will open up your mic. We've got some more lines in the chat room, so if you're in the chat room and like to get in on this conversation, or you wanted to share about your mother, or any stories, mother stories, or certainly Nasirene, we can also share. I've got another hand up, so let's go to 443-676. Go ahead, you're live on the air.
Good evening. This is Jackie King. I'm honored to be very close friends with Benita and Letitia, Benita Macklin and Letitia Johnson. And
okay, great.
And I was able to spend a few hours with them yesterday, but have known these young women for about 31 years and was really impressed with their mom's story. I mean, I know these two women rather intimately, but didn't know their mom. But it's so clear that the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, obviously. I know
Absolutely.
These two women to be, you know, community organizers and just, like, loving, like, women. So I'm sitting here listening to the story of Mama Irene and, you know, the Head Start and her mentoring these young adults. And research suggests that the importance of, you know, young people having a mentor as Mama Irene was, someone to come alongside them and let them know that, to be that role model, to let them know that your dreams are valid, you know, what you want to do in life are valid. And it just takes one adult to say that in a way that a young child can receive that. And, you know, so I now know that Mama Irene was that person. Benita and Letitia shared with me the story about these two gentlemen who, you know, played for her their musical instruments. And because Mama Irene told them that they could do it, they've now excelled and are in the symphony. And so to me, it just leads to the importance of having that one adult in a child's life to just to let them know you can do it. You know, you are awesome. You can do this. And I'm grateful to just sit in tonight to listen to the story about Mama Irene and to know that, you know, her legacy exists and will continue to exist, you know, through her daughter and her granddaughter. And I'm just grateful to have known her and to also be so close to these women and to look forward to the future and what we will plan to do together. So I'm just grateful to be in, you know, on the program and just, you know, just happy to be in the midst.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in. And the one thing that you got from her eulogy, but one of the things that I will share with you is that I went to school in New Hampshire, and so Boston was only about an hour away, and we would get down there from time to time, and the climate that the folks of African descent in Boston was not easy. I remember I was going to. I went to college there in the late 70s, 74 to 78, and at that time they were still escorting school buses of children with the police for the black youth that were being bused to other areas outside of the area. So I know for her to be doing what she did inside of that context, inside of what was happening around her in the city, took courage, took strength. She had to be clear who she was. And so she was that guiding light and unwavering to have those accomplishments in the face of all that was around her. So it just, you know, it just really is an acknowledgement of who she is and her accomplishments, especially going through it in the time that she went through it. So,
Definitely. Yeah. And it's because of women like her that, and often think about women like her with the Head Start, that I was able to, you know, to go on to, you know, undergraduate and graduate school and, to, you know, achieve a doctorate degree. I mean, I don't take it for granted. I don't think that, okay, I've achieved and I've arrived at this, you know, just because of pulling myself up by my own bootstraps. I totally acknowledge and aware that there are individuals, you know, like Mama Irene. And like I said, I didn't know her as personally as I would have liked, but hearing stories that I'm hearing today and yesterday with Benita, that, you know, it's because of her I am where I sit today, and I am grateful, and I am in awe. And so I don't take it for granted. And Benita, I thank you for sharing your mom with us.
Absolutely. Hold on, we've got another listener. We've got about 9 minutes left, and I have to open up the line to my co-host in a second. We have 315-255. Go ahead, you're live on the air.
Hi there. Bill Berry calling in to celebrate the life of Mother Irene and to say to Benita, wow, 1971, I think I met your mom and saw her achieve what she wanted to do intellectually as a student and scholar, saw what she did and how she touched everyone's heart and mind that she dealt with, saw what she did in terms of family and her affection and caring for her children and grands, saw the impact that she had on the community at large. And what most impressed me was this kind of unwavering conviction to speak truth to power and to motivate others to do the same thing. And even when she was kind of a singular voice, she was not afraid to articulate her position and freely express what was truth and what was right. So her legacy, her spirit will live on.
Wow.
And for those of us who she touched, it will just continue. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, thank you, because oftentimes what I vision, because she always spoke softly, but you ever saw that cartoon where I think it was Roosevelt or somebody, speak softly but carry a big stick. I always felt like her words were strong, were that stick. You know, her words were that piercing, that strong to you know, with her conviction. So I definitely hear you. I definitely get what you're saying. And love her dearly and miss her. You know, didn't have a lot of interactions with her, but all the interactions I had were just powerful and great and just to my amazement.
And I will say particularly on Mother's Day, I appreciate what the program is doing. I appreciate Benita, you and Letitia and Chuck and the rest of the family in terms of honoring your mom, and I just want the family to know that while all the people who loved her may not be physically with you, that the outpouring of care and affection and being there in spirit, we will lift you at the same level to persevere and carry on her legacy. So that's all I need to say, and folks, enjoy the rest of the evening and Mother's Day.
Thank you. And the other thing that I want to put in before I bring on my co-host is this. Every day is Mother's Day. So you know, let's not act like it comes once a year, because mothers are to be honored, especially mothers that bring the kind of legacy that Mother PV brought to us. Henrietta?
Hi. Hey, Glenn. Hi, everybody. How are you tonight? Happy Mother's
Day. Happy Mother's Day to you.
Right. And before I say anything, Warren is here, and he wanted to speak.
Happy Mother's Day to everybody. And, Ben, how you doing, brother?
Hey. What up?
We live in the same city and don't see each other as much as we
want.
But it's good hearing you, my brother.
Rosemary said the same thing. She says, you got to stop meeting like this because she was here in Chicago. She said, we live in the same city, as you got to stop meeting like this.
Yeah. But Glenn, just the most beautiful service ever on Friday for Miss Peavy. Oh, my God, just a beautiful service, a beautiful family. It was just, oh, my God.
It was great.
It was wonderful, just wonderful, and just a wonderful time with the family after the service. And Bonita is as beautiful as she always is, And Leticia was just so good to see them again. And, Chuck is just like, she just must have said, okay, God, I want this, and this, and a husband. And there was Chuck, okay? just as supportive as anybody would want a husband to be. So just my acknowledgement is to the family and, just happy Mother's Day to Miss Irene just a beautiful family, a beautiful family, Glenn.
And don't forget, today is Bonita's birthday.
That's right. Happy birthday. That's right.
Is Bonita on yet?
Yeah, she's on.
Hey,
yes,
Bonita.
Yes, she is.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, it was wonderful.
If I speak, does it?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes,
we can hear you.
Oh, okay, good. I don't know about this technology thing. I thought that I was just listening.
I still have your mic open.
Okay, great. Yes, thank you guys for being there on Friday. It was extraordinary, and a great deal of it had to do with your presence as well, so thank you for being there. Mm-hmm.
Right, so Bonita's intention is to give 48 hours of rest sometime this week. We don't know when, but sometime this week.
Oh, my God. You know what? I spoke about that before I remembered our women's conference is this week with my church, Trinity United Church of Christ. We've got 800 women gathering up in Schaumburg.
Oh, my God.
For our women's conference, and I'm on the committee. And I don't know what I was thinking to think that I would have lay down and rest anywhere. I'll hit the ground running tomorrow between airport runs, family going home, and dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's for the conference. But so next week I'll get my 48 hours of sleep.
Bonita, it's no different than when you're doing the dance, hon.
Right.
Exactly.
And you know what? It's so funny you say that, because dance is one thing that, for me in any way, always was like self-generative. So
mm-hmm.
it's like the more
mm-hmm.
I danced, the more energy I had. So, and that's how things are with my life. It's like when I take something on, it's like, I have to be reminded to stop or to slow down or to eat or to, because it's like the more I do, the more energy I have.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's interesting that you say that. It is much like dance for me. Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's so wonderful. We've got about a minute left. Thank you. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. Please check out our website at www.blacksummit.org. We are going to Belize City in Central America. So check the website for information. And as always, we come to you live 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central Time on Sunday night. We were looking at making a changing that, and we'll let you know when we do. But you certainly can get all the information. And this is taped, and it's available at the website of www.blacksummit.org. So this Mother's Day, I'm going to let everybody say good night before we go. So, Bonita, anything else for you?
Well, I would say the only thing that I think to say is that, I invite us all to just look amongst us and see. There's an army of us caregivers out here just, providing for our elders,
You know, so here is where, you know, just look to see who may be caring for a loved one that you could just acknowledge, you know, reach out to, connect with. You know, sometimes a phone call or, you know, just like we talked about the words of encouragement to our young people, I think all of us need that, you know, and sometimes, you know, the life of the world of caregiving can get a little isolated because sometimes you have to. I know in this journey, you know, it just became isolating sometimes. But, you know, to make sure, you know, as a caregiver that you're reaching out and staying connected, but also for those of us to just make sure we're looking amongst us and noticing, you know, who is caring for someone. Sometimes the caregiver goes before the loved one because, you know, we just get ourselves worn out and you know, don't care for ourselves. So a word of encouragement goes a long way, and it doesn't have to look a particular way. It can, you know, sometimes just be a smile or a glance or, you know, a hug or just some kind of acknowledgement, you know, that we know, that you know that, you know, there are things that you'll never, never, never know about that they're providing for their loved one, and that it takes a lot. Sometimes it takes more than we have to give, you know, but we give it anyway, and we give it with love, and we give it because that's what there is to do.
That's what we do, right. Benita,
absolutely.
Thank you for presencing that. That's that's just so very important, and I really think maybe that, you know, that's something we can do a show on. You know, we can do a show about that, you know, and bring
absolutely.
It
absolutely.
You know, attention.
Because I know with me and Mom, you know, and I don't know if I'm going over the time now, but, you know, really it was the summit.
That's
it was the International Black Summit and my community in the summit that stepped up and that provided for me at a time when, you know, I was really at my wit's end and needed to know that it was possible, like it was possible to care for my mom the way, you know, in a way that she needed, you know, and I mean in a tangible way. You know, the summit stepped up and gave me the encouragement I needed to keep going and sustained me for years. And I don't know that I've ever really thanked the summit for that. And I haven't been around a whole lot since that time because, you know, I was caught up in providing for Mom. So, you know, I guess what I want to say right now is just thank you for, thank you to the International Black Summit and to those that stepped up, probably not even knowing that what they did, you know, at that time, those many years ago, made such an impact, but it really did. It provided for me and it provided for Mom. It provided an opportunity for, you know, an elder to stay expressed and, you know, to live life fully. So thank you.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Ryan. Thank you, Benita, and thank you, Miss Irene. We love you. We bless you. We thank God for you, and we bless you on your way.
Uh-huh.
You are magnificent, and we will never, ever stop loving you. God bless you, everyone. Glenn, thank you for holding this down and love to this family. As we salute Miss Irene TV.
Yes.
As she takes her seat among the ancestors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that moment of silence today included you, Miss Irene.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So with that, folks, again, every day is Mother's Day. I salute the women and the men who have mother our community and taking care of and providing for us and sent love our way and are always looking out for us. And that, peace and blessings. Good night and God bless.
Good night. God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Love you all.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.